More of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Teich.
I'm watching the game, but something's wrong. Staring is my wife, her face looks long. I know that look, it must be me. It's not our anniversary. I shrug, no clue, what did I do? She stands in disbelief. What? This holiday scene brings no laughter.
The holidays are a time when wishes can come true. The a cappella group Straight No Chaser was granted many wishes this year, but well before the holidays. Straight No Chaser, who started as a college a cappella group at Indiana University in 1996, was signed by Atlantic Records 5 years ago, and their albums since have spanned a variety of genres. This year, they were given the chance to collaborate with musicians who've had an influence on their group. Their ambitious wish list came through, and Straight No Chaser collaborated with musicians like Elton John, Stevie Wonder, Dolly Parton, and Paul McCartney, or Sir Paul McCartney, for their new albums Under the Influence and Under the Influence, the Holiday Edition. Randy Stein is a founding member of the group. Ahead of a Tuesday show at the Riverside Theater, he joined Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson by phone from the road and says that the group has been influenced by other musicians since the beginning.
Actually, back in college, I was taking some music classes at IU, some jazz classes, from a well-known professor at IU named David Baker. And he'd gotten me into Thelonious Monk's music, and I had a couple of his CDs, and we had formed this a cappella group at IU, and we were trying to come up with names. And I thought some of the names of his songs and albums were kind of interesting. I remember bringing in, you know, a couple of CDs to the rehearsal and saying, oh, there's this one called Consecutive Seconds, and then Straight No Chaser, and, you know, I kind of, you know, bounced a bunch of names around with the group, and none of them seemed to really stick at first. Nothing seemed to resonate. But then probably a week or so later, we had our first performance, and while we were up on stage, one of the guys stepped forward and said, you know, thank you guys for, you know, coming out to the show. Our name is, and then he turned back to look at us and said, hey, what are we going with? And, you know, someone said Straight No Chaser, which I was like, oh, okay, so it did resonate with someone. And we went with Straight No Chaser, and that's, you know, gone with us ever since 1996, and it's gone, you know, really, really well because of that.
So then, did the group start at the university then?
Yes, all 10 of us were students at IU. We've all graduated from IU, and some of us were music majors, some not, but we all had a love of singing, and mainly singing for girls and free food. So we decided to put together this group, and you know, just kind of for fun, and it just kind of, you know, snowballed even during college into something bigger than we thought it would be. And obviously even more so now when we signed with Atlantic Records in 2008.
Wow. So then have you been performing all this time?
No, actually we all sang together for 3 or 4 years in college and went our separate ways, different jobs. One guy was a DA in the city of Denver. We've had guys, you know, who've done all sorts of things from medical device sales to IT sales to working for banks. And we were all doing our own things until the university had a reunion for us in 2006. And in 2006, I uploaded a video to YouTube of our kind of wacky version of the 12 Days of Christmas that we performed in 1998. None of us had ever seen it because the tape was on Betamax, so I had to go and get it transferred and put it on my computer and do all sorts of work just to make that happen. But I thought it would be fun just for us as a group to kind of reminisce and say, oh, remember the good old days. And about 18 months after I posted it, it went viral in December of 2007, and suddenly we had, you know, 7 or 8 million views, and that sparked a bunch of interesting emails and comments and things, and I got a phone call on January 1st of 2008 from the CEO of Atlantic Records, who convinced me to fly to L.A. and have dinner with him and talk over the idea of us getting back together and touring again, which for us was absolutely crazy. But a week later, we were all in the New York offices. We sang a couple of songs, and they greenlit the whole project. And then later that same year, in 2008, we had our first album come back out.
So how would you describe your group for somebody who's never really heard of your group at all?
It's very interesting for us. One thing I see every night when we have a signing line and fans come through to meet us and we sign CDs or posters or things, I find it really gratifying to have people come through and say, you know, I was dragged here. I didn't know what this was going to be. My wife wanted to come, or, you know, they'll name somebody else who made them come to the show, and they said, oh, I'm a fan. I'm coming to the next show. You guys are in town, and they've got a stack of CDs in their hand. So I think our show is definitely not what people may go into it expecting, which I really like. It's our music is kind of all genres. It crosses all generations. We've had people come to the show with literally four generations of a family come through line. So we joke that it's, you know, ages 8 to 80, but it really has been. And, you know, the other day we had a four-month-old in the audience who sat and watched the whole show and was completely silent. We pointed it out to the crowd. We said, that's the best-behaved four-month-old we've ever seen. You know, she was 4 months old, and then we have someone who even has, she's on Twitter, and she calls herself Oldest Chaser, and she's 96 years old. So and she actually got a Twitter handle so she could follow us on Twitter and see what we post about and see the pictures we post. So it's been really gratifying to us to see that what we do can hit a wide, you know, variety of people with different tastes in music, different backgrounds. And we had a guy come through line the other night who said he was a diehard Motley Crue and Kiss fan. And he said, our concert was the best concert he'd ever seen, which I was completely shocked by, but also very flattered by.
With your new album, Under the Influence, the Holiday Edition, you have this one where you guys sing about this guy who is watching the Nutcracker, but he'd rather be watching the game, but his wife is standing there with the long face wanting to watch the Nutcracker. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, we love kind of, you know, playing it. We had a last night at our show in Baltimore. One of the people in the audience was a former Baltimore Ravens player. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, watching his face as being an ex-football player to see what his, you know, facial expressions were during that song. So it was a fun we get to watch the audience this time kind of twist.
One of the things that I also noticed that makes your group unique is that on your website it says that you guys are a band rather than a choir or an a cappella group. Why do you refer to yourselves as a band?
I think we've always thought of ourselves as a band, as there were a lot of a cappella groups that we saw that did it a different style than we did, in the sense that they really were mimicking instruments and trying to make their voices sound like a guitar or a trombone or what have you by trying to emulate that actual sound. And for us, we kind of look at it as we're filling out the complete aural, you know, palette of sound that you're hearing from a band, but you're not missing anything because you're only hearing voices. So, you know, that's one thing we love also hearing when people come through after a show and is commenting, I didn't even miss the instrument. Like, all right, good. We did our job. We want people to feel like they're hearing everything that they would be getting from a band or an orchestra or something like that, but they're really only hearing the 10 voices. And that's what we really pride ourselves on, that it's a big full sound without kind of the exact mimicry of instruments.
Merry Christmas, baby. You did treat me nice.
With the album that you have, the Under the Influence, and with the Under the Influence Holiday Edition, you're working with some pretty big names, including Dolly Parton and Sir Paul McCartney. And Sir Paul McCartney was in Milwaukee in July and had this big sellout concert. And with the album, you were collaborating with him with Wonderful Christmas Time.
Right.
What was it like to work with him, and how did he adjust the a cappella setting?
Well, it was amazing for us just on the first album alone. You know, they kind of said, you have a dream list of people you'd like to work with. And we said, oh, well, sure. And we listed out, you know, all these names. And amazingly, they all came back and said yes, which was a shock to us. And, you know, after that happened, we then talked about, well, what can we do to follow this up? Maybe we should put out a couple of Christmas songs and have, you know, a holiday version of the album, which is what we did. And we said, well, who do you like to work with on that? And we threw out some more names. And I'd just seen Paul McCartney, perform on Saturday Night Live last December and do Wonderful Christmas Time. And I said, well, what if we had Paul McCartney to do Wonderful Christmas Time? And then, you know, there was a lot of, well, you know, why would he say yes to us? You know, and I said, oh, I don't know. But I mean, hey, we didn't think Stevie Wonder or Elton John or any of those guys would say yes either. So we just kind of threw it out there. And he came back. He was actually the last one to jump on. He'd been busy touring. He'd recorded his new album. Mm-hmm. And we were heading to Vegas to do a series of shows at the Palms out there. And so just a few days before we went out to Vegas, we found out he was in. So we went into the Palms recording studio, and we were literally recording that song between our shows in Vegas, whether it was before the show or after the show. We recorded all of that song in, I think, 2 or 3 days just to make sure we could fit it on this EP and have it out in time. So he was amazing. So all of us are big Beatles fans, and we're just amazed that he said yes. It's like one of those bucket list items you never thought you could ever put on there, right, as a list, because it would never seem like it was a possibility. So it's very, you know, surreal still to all of us that he's on our album.
The mood is right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here, that only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song. Lift a glass and don't look down. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. We're simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Who's the arranging, or did he have much say in the arrangement?
He was very open to the whole idea. So we put together the arrangement ourselves. Walt, one of the guys in the group, did the actual arrangement. And we structured it around to make sure it kind of fit what he had done originally, because we didn't want to change it so much. We also had a very, you know, small time window to make sure it was done in time for the EP to come out for the holiday season. So we didn't want to stray too far from what he'd originally, you know, written, because we didn't want him to think, well, this is a little too dramatically different. So we think we had a lot of fun with it, and, you know, putting our own little spin on it as well, with keeping that original feel.
Of children sing their song. They practiced all year long.
And is this going to be one of the songs that is going to be performed at the Riverside tomorrow night?
It might be. We do vary our set list night to night. We have done that song live. We actually just did it last week on VH1 Morning Blend. We've done several television appearances with it, so it'll be out there for people to see for sure. It might be in the concert in Milwaukee.
Great. And so is the concert going to be more focused on the holiday edition, or are you going to have a mixture of songs from all of your albums?
Yeah, we do a nice mix, especially after Thanksgiving. We like to have a good mix of things, because we have people in the audience who will come up and say, oh, I wish you'd done Christmas. And it's like, well, it's July. We can't do Christmas year-round. And other times we'll do a show near Christmas, and someone will say, oh, I really wish you'd done, you know, a certain pop song. So we always try to do a nice blend of both Christmas and just our traditional contemporary music as well in you know, the same show. So we could try to have a little bit of everything in there.
Well, Randy, we are definitely looking forward to this concert. So Randy Stein, thank you so much for representing Straight No Chaser on Lake Effect.
Oh, of course. I always think of Lake. I'm from Chicago, so every time I hear Lake Effect, I think of snow.
Wonderful. All right. See you tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Randy Stein is one of the founding members of the a cappella group Straight No Chaser. He spoke with Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson. Straight No Chaser plays the Riverside Theater tomorrow night in a concert featuring songs from their new albums Under the Influence and Under the Influence, the Holiday Edition, from which this song is taken.
The snowflakes are dancing in the sky. Love's in the air tonight. This is where I'm supposed to be on this wintry Christmas Eve. Lost in your eyes on this sleigh ride.
That's Monday's edition of Lake Effect. Tomorrow on the show, the young homegrown inventor of something on more than a few kids' holiday wish lists this year, plus the story of a photo book based on the World War II honor flights that bring veterans to Washington, D.C. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. We're NPR in Milwaukee. It's 11 o'clock, and stay tuned because fresh air comes your way next.
Santa has given out the toys in his pack. We'll light up the tree, and that's where you'll find I'll be your gift, and I hope that you'll be mine. So come, baby, sleigh ride with me. We'll check out the evergreens in the snow-white evening. We'll get Rudolph to light the way. And I promise I'll have you home. Oh, I promise.